World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I've been pondering the last, I'm scrolling down there seeing all the names of people that are in here this morning. Something that's really been kind of on my chest here the last few days is the scripture. I don't have it ready for you, but trust me, it's there. My brain just boom, it was gone just like that. I was going to say it'll come back to me. What time to be alive, man? Stuff going on around us. It's absolutely so crazy. Jesus said, "You praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." And one of the things that continues to trouble me to the point where it becomes almost an obsession, and I apologize to you if it is, our team. And by our team, I don't mean people in the queue. I'm talking about our Christian team, our team, how impotent our Christian team has become. And I want to talk a little bit about this. And look, my intention is never to offend anybody, to make anybody feel bad. Sometimes when you feel bad, it's conviction. I've said this before, so understand that we understand this, okay? Conviction and condemnation sometimes feel the same. So for instance, if today I was going to start talking about abortion, and there are women or men in the queue who've had abortions 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, something happens inside of them. They feel something to the point where maybe they would say, "God, I wish you wouldn't talk about that. It makes me feel bad," whatever. Well, there's a difference, my friends, between conviction and condemnation. See, conviction is the idea or the spirit or the feeling that, yep, I'm guilty. That's conviction. Yep, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm convicted. Me, I convicted myself. Holy Spirit convicted me. Yep, I'm guilty. Condemnation is, yeah, you're guilty and you deserve hell. Not only that, when you went and did that, it did cause this and cause this and cause this, and you've never recovered from this. That's condemnation. The Bible says there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I would hope that here in this show, you are convicted, you're convinced you're guilty, and then you deal with it. And how do you deal with it? You take it to the cross. And the reality of it is a lot of you watching this show right now who are still under condemnation for something you did, not conviction. You feel guilty. It burdens you when the subject comes up. You get angry. Sometimes you get sick when you think about it. Why did I do that? Why did I go through it? Folks, that's what the gospel is about. There is no condemnation. Condemn, sentenced to death. That's to be condemned. None of that in the gospel. None of that in the gospel. And a lot of us, if we were honest with ourselves, we would say, "I can forgive everybody else, but I can't forgive me." Anybody say amen to that one? Yep.
Amen.
I did a lot of bad stuff, and I can't. God, maybe Jesus can forgive me, but I can't forgive me. Well, you got to shake that thing off. You got to shake that thing off, man. You got to move beyond it. And a lot of us are carrying anchors. Oh, yeah. We're carrying an anchor when it's supposed to be a trampoline? Say, what? Yeah. What does an anchor do? An anchor holds you down. What does a trampoline do? It lifts you up. And so you take that situation, whatever that was that happened in your life, whether it was an abortion, whether it was a divorce, whether you stole from your company, whatever it would be, the conviction comes on you. Say, man, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Do we do that? Do we do that to our friends? I can disarm my wife, or she can disarm me, if she simply says to me, or I simply say to her, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Now, friends, what do you do when someone genuinely says, I'm sorry, please forgive me? Now, it's on balls in your court. Are you going to forgive them? Are you going to continue to carry that buried grudge, right? It's a grudge. You had that grudge, but you buried it. You know, all right, she forgave me. I don't know if she really. And then the next time something happens, all of a sudden, boom, there, coming back up again, right? And a lot of us are prisoners. Never really received forgiveness or given forgiveness. And I want to do the monologue here. I'm going to go someplace. I think it's important. So bear with me here a second. And I did something really crazy this morning. Well, last night. You know, I wrote yesterday. My day to write and posted it News with Views and all that kind of stuff. And it didn't come up on News with Views this morning. But what the heck? I spent two and a half hours writing that commentary. He didn't even post it. Holy crap, what's going on? And then, of course, I checked my email and I never sent it to him. But I want to share it today as we jump off here this morning. I want to share it because I think it's worth sharing. So, Spencer, if you could, pull up the commentary that I wrote that hasn't, it'll soon be posted here at Coach Dave Live, and it'll soon be posted at News with Views. But I think it's relevant to what we talked about today. So bear with me. Okay. I titled it, The Paranormal is Demonic. Paranormal. As many of you are aware, I'm first part talks about my the show. Okay, so let's get on through that. Right there, start there. The chaos that we're currently dealing with in our nation is not political, but spiritual. Only a return to biblical Christianity can cure our cultural issues. We will not vote our way out of this mess we find ourselves in. According to an internet search, there are 45,000 denominations of Christianity in the world today. Denominate means to divide. Anybody out there remember second grade long division? You had a numerator and a denominator. The numerator is the total number, and the denominator is the number by which the whole number is divided. So we got 70 million, let's say, Christians, and they're in 45 different denominations. So they're not even in the same huddle. They don't even agree on the same stuff. Okay, stay with me. Interestingly, Jesus told us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now wait, a divided house can stand. I didn't put this in there, but a divided house, our house is divided. Your house is divided. You have rooms, walls, doors. A divided house can, but a house divided against itself can't. If Michelle's in one room shooting at me and I'm in the other room shooting at her, well, we ain't going to stand, right? So a divided house can stand, but not if it's divided against itself, okay? One of the themes that we point out regularly on my show is that the supernatural has left the church. This hit home with me this morning when the discussion of the paranormal realm, angels, demons, Satan, Nephilim, spellcasting, witchcraft came up. Let me pause right there. Any of those issues right now, and those issues, let me do it again. Angels, demons, Satan, Nephilim, spellcasting, witchcraft. Could you tell me the last time you had a sermon on any of that in your church? Bible says my people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Anytime, right? Okay, stay with me. One of the tactics of Satan's minions is to change the meaning of words. In fact, I wrote about it posted it. The Holy Spirit, yes, he is real, prompted me to look up the word paranormal, because we were talking about it yesterday. I was pleasantly surprised that Webster's defined paranormal as supernatural. Isn't that something? Huh? Why do they use the term paranormal? Why don't they use supernatural? I was pleased. Supernatural of relating to or being part of a reality beyond the observable physical universe. That's what paranormal is. Remember, change the words. Calling things paranormal is another way of describing the spiritual realm without invoking the truth of the Bible. Millions of Americans have been introduced to the spiritual world without using biblical terms. Paranormal is another word for spiritual. Rod Serling called it the twilight zone. You tracking with me here, folks? Why won't our culture and society call it the spiritual realm? Why do they call it the paranormal? Because to call it paranormal will acknowledge, to call it spiritual acknowledges the Bible. Stay with me. Call it the twilight zone or paranormal, no matter what term you use, it's simply an acknowledgement of what the scriptures teach. Here's what the scriptures teach us, folks. Your Bible, my Bible, every version of it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. What is that? Against powers. What is that? Oh, I know what that is. That's paranormal. That'd be paranormal, coach. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual paranormals in high places, right? Is that what it says? Against paranormal in high places? No. The Bible very clearly spells out the paranormal. But we don't call it that, right? We don't call the paranormal spiritual wickedness. Whereunto you take the whole armor of God, you might be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. That sort of sounds like paranormal to me. The Bible calls it spiritual warfare. It really is nothing new under the sun. Our enemy, Satan, whether you acknowledge him or not, is real. Too bad our churches don't even teach us about the demonic anymore. The filmmakers prefer the word paranormal as an excuse to explain away the spiritual war that's raging around us. Just a quickie, something to further your curiosity. Check out these 14 sobering facts about Satan. Pull that up real quick, Spence. Click on that. That's a hyperlink. Click on that hyperlink if you can. How about this? I'm going to run down these real quick. 14 sobering facts about the devil. When's the last sermon you had on the devil? Go ahead. No, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Number one, Satan means adversary. Go ahead. Number two. Pride fueled the devil's original story. Keep going. Satan's domain is earth, not Sheol. Satan rules the nations of the earth. That's why we got to take it back. That's why our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come. Satan controls his own host of demons. Heard this in your church at all? The Bible doesn't say he rules all the demons. Keep going. Seven. The devil tried to make at least one deal with God. Go on. Satan is on the defensive. He's on the defensive. He's a liar by nature. Satan has spiritual children just like God does. What? Oh, yeah. You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Okay, hang on. Look, friends, the battle that you are in and I am in is not political. I don't care what issue it is you're dealing with in your life. It is a spiritual issue, meaning something has caused you to act and respond the way you do. That's why Jesus said, take captive every thought. Why does he want you to take captive every thought? Because thoughts lead to action. Thoughts lead to action. How many times have you opened your mouth and said something that as soon as you said it, you wish you hadn't said it? And if we don't understand that there is an occult or demonic battle going on for the mind, the battleground of the mind. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, evil spirits in high place. If we don't understand that your entire existence is under assault from the demonic realm, then somebody at your church hadn't done a very good job. Look, friends, battle's not political. It's supernatural. Read Psalm 2. Who are the kings of this earth? Who are they? Who are they? To acknowledge that the demonic exists is confirmation of the Bible. So they just changed the words to call it demonic. They call it paranormal. See, paranormal is a term the devil's team has given to the spiritual battle. Witches and warlocks are minions of the paranormal, occult, army, arrayed. Witches and warlocks are minions of the army against the Lord and his emissaries. You get that? Do you understand that? That there's an actual war against Christianity? Okay, now, I want to tip my cap to Craig Mickle because he turned me on to some of this. Did you? Are you ready for this? Click on this. Best cities for witches. What? Yeah, witches. Yeah, serving the devil. 2020's best cities for witches. Huh? Number one, New York. Number two, L.A. Number three, Houston, Chicago, Las Vegas. There they are. Huh? Folks, how many covens they have? Look at that. Look at that. Covens of the rank. How many they have? What? We're wrestling not against flesh and blood. Scroll down. Is Ohio in there? Is Columbus in there anywhere? I'll keep going. I think so. I think it's going to. Oh, where's Washington, D.C.? It's only 30th. Cincinnati, Columbus, 37th. In what? Best city for witches. Put that in the chat. That's unbelievable, isn't it? You understand where Stephanie when I need her? You understand that there are actually witches, warlocks, those demonically inspired and possessed people who are constantly at work against the Lord and against his anointed. Witchcraft is demonic. Much of what we see going on is demonic. For though we walk in the... What does this mean? What does this mean? For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Look, folks, not just simply your pastor telling you, well, the devil's after you, honey. No. No, there's something that's going on that's giving the devil access into this. Why is he able to do this? Why can't I cut him off? Why, what? Huh? Casting down imaginations. That's what we're supposed to do. Imaginations, huh? I was saying this to Michelle before we went to sleep last night, laying in a little pillow talk. I think I'm beginning to become convinced that the past is a realm, that time travel there really is a realm, because I can mention to you right now. Hey guys, you guys remember 911? Give you 911. Remember when those towers came down? And right now, as soon as I say that, if I told you to concentrate on it, an image would come up in your mind of 911. In fact, you could remember maybe where you were. I can remember where I heard that I was driving down the street, down Route 16, east of New York, I'm sorry. And it came over the Mike Gallagher show that the towers had just been attacked. I can right now picture myself back there. Can anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody take any experience in your life and remember that moment? Somebody, how about a song comes up and it was a song and you, oh yeah, trauma-based programming, right? Certain things are there. And how do they come out of there? Because there is another realm that we're not taught about.
Boom.
Casting down imaginations. And every high thing, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, it doesn't exalt itself against God. It exalts itself against what your knowledge of God is. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In fact, didn't Jesus tell us that the tongue, nobody can cure the tongue, nobody can control the tongue. It's a fiery dart, right? And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Hey, friends, for though we walk in the flesh, we war after the paranormal. But it ain't paranormal. It's demonic. Literally, wake the hell up, Christians. The devil is real. Satanism is real. The spiritual realm is real. Pardon me, paranormal my ass.
Boom.
And ask yourself this. Are you, me, us, Christianity, being trained in this war that the scripture talks so clearly about? Are we being trained? No, hell no, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. Pull up for me. Hang on. Hang on. I got all kinds of stuff today. Pull up number two. Pull up number two. Folks, this stuff's in the Bible. This stuff's in the Bible, and we don't even talk about it. Genesis 3. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, that daggone Satan, that daggone serpent, he beguiled me. He tricked me. The Lord said unto the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon the belly shall you eat, dust shall you eat all days of your life. And I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and your seed. The devil has seed? The devil has children? And it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. What? What? That's a seed war. Quote number one, what's enmity? Enmity. Enmity. The quality of being an enemy. Folks, you got a freaking enemy. The opposite of friendship. Ill will. Hatred. Unfriendly dispositions. Malevolence. It expresses more than aversion and less than malice, and differs from displeasure to in denoting a fixed or rooted hatred, whereas displeasure is more transient. So it is a deep, deep hatred for the seed. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Boy, point number three. Nobody cares. What I'm going to show you about, nobody cares. Churches don't care because the churches don't understand the seed war. We don't understand that Satan wants the seed. Satan wants the seed. Satan. Project Veritas. You want to talk about wicked? Talk about wicked. You talk about locking Pastor Bill Dunphy up. They lock him up and going to the court. Huh? Listen to this. This is Priscilla Jones, receptionist at the Planned Parenthood in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, do we hate our children? Do we hate our children? Look, I never faced it. If my 15-year-old daughter got pregnant, I wouldn't kill my grandbaby. I wouldn't kill my grandbaby. Come on, I wouldn't say, oh yeah, go get rid of my grandson. Yeah, get rid of him. We're sick. Watch this. Go ahead.
She's 13. Her parents don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't do them here. But we don't do them in Missouri. It's illegal. But we do have, I can give you a packet of the two locations that do it in Kansas. They have people that'll come pick them up. They have people
really?
That pay for the whole thing. Yes. I will call them and tell them what the situation is. They're going to help you with that.
All within Planned Parenthood?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if there's...
Reason! They're talking about the abortion of a minor. Okay, go ahead. Now, it's against the law, by the way. Go ahead.
Who agrees or not, we say that she was at the doctor. And we can cut off our letterhead so it doesn't even say where she was. Trust me, this is not their first rodeo. They're going to know exactly how to handle that. I will call.
Okay, so 13-year-olds can go across the line.
Absolutely.
Parenthood helps them do that and then pays for the whole thing.
I won't say it pays for the whole thing, but they will work for you. Sometimes they do end up paying for it. Yeah, okay, yeah, it's illegal in Missouri.
How many times do you do this a year?
What, like a boy?
Girls coming out of the state, yes.
Oh, every day.
We get, yeah.
Every day.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Because we set up hotels for them. We set up every day.
So, this is so great because she's 13.
Yeah.
She's so young.
And she's scared, you know, and that's what we're here for.
And her parents do not need, they're like so conservative. And I cannot let them know.
And they won't. In Planned Parenthood, we consider you an adult. So you can make the decision, then we've got you.
Okay. And then can she come in here for follow-up?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she doesn't have to go back there for follow-up. Once she's done with them, she can come back here.
And what about, like, contraceptives?
We'll take care of all of that.
All without any mm-hmm. consent?
Yeah, we never tell her parents anything. She's an adult in our clinic.
There you are. Huh? Why do we hate our children? Where's the guy that's going to go in there, murder that baby, and get away with it? Huh? How does that happen? Okay, I've gone on. I got more. but, who's going to stop all this? Who is going to stop all this wickedness? It's very clear. We just read the scriptures. We're supposed to. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We're supposed to do that. And yet, chances are, of what I just showed you up there, they never spoken about in your church. Ever spoken of in your church. Come on in, Mary Ellen. Mary Beth.
My 15-year-old was pregnant, and her son, Gabe, has gone through a lot of really bad crap. And he is now at Minnesota Adult Teen Challenge, and he's doing pastorate classes. And he's not a quiet kind of a kid.
Well, they should have killed him. Should have killed him, man.
Oh, yeah. He almost, he's been near death so many times. And he's got a story. He found his brother hanging. And, I mean, he has got a story, coach. Anyway,
what if the person who had the cure for cancer was aborted? What if that? What if the next president of the United States, born for such a time as this, was aborted? What? We don't have any idea, do we? God's got a wonderful plan for your life. Well, we don't believe that. Christians say that and then are for abortion. Explain that one to me. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, you're talking about witches? Last year, Mount Vernon had their first witches' night out.
Yeah.
So I heard that Christians were going to do something about it.
Oh, yeah, I bet they were.
Are you kidding me?
She's a white witch. She's a good witch.
I went up to the public square, and there was about 15 of them up there in the center around that big statue. I said, what's the agenda for tonight? And here it is. It was like Tuesday night. They were on the square. Well, the witch's night out was Thursday. I said, what are you people doing? Well, we're going to pray. I said, well, that's good. I said, but after you get done praying, what are you going to do? Are you coming back down here Thursday night when the witches are here? Oh, y'all have seen the looks on their faces. Yeah. So I let them all pray, and then I prayed at the end. And I said, boys, I'm telling you, there's men and women. I said, boys. But I said, we're coming back down here Thursday night. Any of you want to join us, come down. And when you get done praying here, we're going to stake this square. And if you want to join us doing that, do it. They laughed. We staked
the square. And pastors come, Jeff?
Well, I won't say who. Cassis were there. So I got to unload on them a little bit, and then they walked away from me.
They came.
But I couldn't get none of them to come back the Night of the Witches. And that was their first one in Mount Vernon. And
So what we see going on. Sorry, Jeff, got to move on here. It's not pastor-led. It ain't pastor-led. No.
Well, there was about
crazy 70, people like Mel out there doing. Huh? No pastors leading this.
There was about 75 witches down there that night. Now you watch this year, it'll be more.
Yeah. How many witches are there that we don't know anything about? Mel, come on in.
Thanks, Coach. I just need to make some announcements, but I want to let you know that the Ecclesia Bible Study is not afraid to get into supernatural and spiritual and kings of this earth and principalities and princes. So, Spencer, if you would go to the...
Mel, let me stop you there a second. Yeah. Folks, this is all through the Bible. This is all through the Bible. The spiritual realm and warfare is all through the Bible. And we let them call it paranormal and the Twilight Zone. And Christians have no idea what's going on around them. Go ahead, Mel.
Thanks. So for anybody who is not familiar with the LibertyActionNetwork.com, it's the LibertyActionNetwork.com. At the top, there's a navigation bar where you see home, about, actions, events. So if you were not at the last Bible study, Spencer, if you'd kind of point at the media tab at the top. If you go to the media tab at the top, go ahead and click on that. This is the video of the first part of our Bible study. So anybody who missed that can go to the media tab and click that. It's about an hour long. Now to join this evening, we have our next one this evening at 7 o'clock. Go to events, upcoming events, and then you click on the name of the study. So where it says Ecclesia, you click on that. And then once you get in there, scroll down, you can see the blue Zoom link. And then you click on that to join the Zoom call. And it starts at 7 o'clock this evening. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're exploring the letters to the seven churches. Rochelle's doing a great job leading that. So I just wanted to make sure that you're clear on how to get in there. And we will see you all at 7 o'clock. The other thing I want to promote, if you don't mind, Spencer, one more thing. Also happening this week, if you scroll down a little bit, is the Conquer Series, the Battle Plan for Purity. And that starts on Saturday. So you can get signed up there. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I got 1,000 things I want to talk about.
Coach, one quick thing. We didn't get enough people to sign up for that, so that's a negative.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah. Hey, listen, Mark Trump, I see you're in here today. Real quickly, I want you to folks, you talk about it. I know something, so I'm trying to get out. Hey, Mark, I want you to do the presentation tomorrow on water. Running out of water, folks. You know we're running out of water. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, yeah, Coach. Well, just in, we'll do that tomorrow. I'll spend a little bit of time on it, but absolutely, something came to me this morning early as I was sitting alone with God, like it happens, Coach, and one thing after another, and. But anyway, yeah, that'll be tomorrow. But the real question here is, you brought up seeds of the serpent. There's a layer that we need to step through and make sure we understand our own beliefs. The first step, you ask, are there seeds of the serpent? Well, really, add today to the sentence. Are there seeds of the serpent today? So if you can establish there are, then did Jesus create them? Because that would change how we react to them and what we're supposed to do. Did Jesus create seeds of the serpent? So once you make a decision on that, then you can go, are they redeemable? But if you don't think Jesus created them, why are you spending time redeeming them? You see, so if you work your way through the logic of a belief system, you really need to build it on a good, strong foundation. Do they exist? Did Jesus create them? Now, what's my role as a Christian, if anything? So each of you think about that. Just pitch that in your thoughts.
So we're talking about, I didn't want to get in deeply into this stuff, the Nephilim, Genesis 6, there were giants in the earth. In those days and also after. Are there right now walking the earth people who are offspring of demons?
I believe it.
Don't even want to go there, do we? We don't even want to go there. We don't even want to go there. Yeah, it's all through the scriptures. All through the scriptures. Demonically empowered, demonically controlled, non-fully human beings. Sorry if you don't believe. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you if you don't believe it. The Bible teaches it. Michelle, come on in.
Hey, good morning, team. So we've got a real blurry Bible if we don't address the supernatural. Okay, so Jesus said avoid the unfruitful works of darkness, but there is power. Just ask most of Hollywood, and they understand these dark works. And I just wanted to remind everybody that in the book of Exodus, Moses and Aaron, they confront Pharaoh and his magicians, and they demonstrate God's power through the miracles. And so Aaron turns his staff into a serpent. Pharaoh's magicians do the same thing, but Aaron's staff devours their snakes. So the magicians, basically, they can mimic this power, and they can mimic the first couple of plagues, but they're unable to replicate or stop God's supreme power over them. And I just thought it was funny. I asked AI, is there any college courses that teach about witchcraft? And you won't believe this. There's the all over the place, MA, magic and occult science, history of witchcraft, magic and the occult, witchcraft and hearing, magic and occult science, the university, all of these courses with witchcraft themes. She practicing witchcraft.
But see, look, that's my point. The point I'm making today is the church isn't even aware of it. We're not even aware of it. We're not even aware. We think the devil's just come to attack your finances. Oh, he's after you. No. It's a seed war, my friends. It's a seed war. And we don't get it. We don't even talk about it in our churches. Gino, come in. Hey, get do me a favor. Get ready on, which one is it? Number four. Get number four ready for me. Go ahead, Gene.
Okay, I was just going to tell you, you know, we've never taught about the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, Second Chronicles. They are the seed of the devil, but they can be saved, yes, because mm-hmm. God created the devil, who is an angel, and the angel turned against God, and the devil created the seed of the serpent.
So, Gino, here's my point. We don't even really believe in the devil. We call his works paranormal. Because if you talk about demonic, then that means there's a God, right? The idea of the devil came from the Bible. So we can't call it demonic. We got to call it paranormal. Hey, can I tell you something? A man sleeping with another man, that's paranormal. That ain't normal, boys and girls, right? That ain't normal. But we don't call it that. I call it possession, demonic possession. We don't teach any of this stuff. I'm going to play this real quick from David Arthur, because, right, he's trying to make you aware that the battle is for the seed. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Anybody know what your seed is? Anybody know? Why, that'd be your children. And by the way, that would be your neighbor's children. They're after the children. Because if they can get the children, that's why Jesus said, it'd be better if you put a millstone around your neck, be thrown into the deepest part of the ocean, than to mislead one of these little ones who believe in me. This is serious, such serious stuff. Go ahead and play this quick clip from Dave and Arthur on grooming. Folks, they're grooming us. They're grooming your children. Go.
Because this is pedophile grooming. This is pederast grooming. These are the techniques. My proof is my past. I'm a registered sex offender because not only was I sex trafficked, I became an agent for my handlers, as a lot of sex trafficking victims do. And then they go out and they recruit and work for their handlers. So this cult and this assault on children must not be accepted by anyone. Do not allow them to target your mind. Do not allow them to try to indoctrinate you and tell you that you can be a boy and be a girl, because you cannot. There is only male or female. There is nothing outside of that. Do not fall for their lies when they tell you that you can identify as something other than what you are. Do not fall for their lies when they promote and encourage your confusion into the dark cult of transgenderism. I was a transgender woman for over 20 years. I know it's a cult. I know it's confusion. And I know it's a mental disorder. And I'm telling everybody within the sound of my voice, do not let them indoctrinate your mind. Do not let them tell you that you can be a girl if you are a boy. That's the truth. Thank you.
So the devil is welcome in the public schools to teach transgenderism, but we got to sneak them out of the school to do life-wise. We have to teach the gospel outside of school and open the door to the deviant. Folks, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. We'll say it again real slow. It's spiritual. It's a spirit. It's not paranormal. It's demonic. It's all around us. The great seed war. All around us.
Hey, Coach.
Washington, D.C. You don't think there's a seed war going on in Washington, D.C.? Holy smokes. Vinny.
Yeah, do you see the story I just posted? A guy confronted his predator, and he confronted him at a church, and they protected the predator.
Yeah. All right, Vinny, that's just showing the love of Jesus. That's showing the love of Jesus, right? Right.
I'm telling you.
See, my frustration, reason our team isn't even in the game. They've taught us in our churches that everything is personal. It's personal. Right? So I'm a football coach. When the right guard lines up, he has a personal battle with the defensive lineman across the ball from him. It's a personal thing. It really is. This guy's got to block that guy. But he's part of an overall scheme. Part of an overall scheme. So this war that we're in is personal, but never only just personal. It's about expanding a kingdom. Can anybody pray with me? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is within you. The enemy has no power over us. We don't even... I mean, we have head knowledge of the evil, the devil, but not really, not really. They're coming into your schools and teaching your kids transgenderism. They're murdering babies. They're telling us, and we're buying it, that that little child created in the image of God is in a person, in the person. We know better than that. Wasn't no war. And folks, it's about the seed. They want to do abortions because that is the seed. The devil wants the seed. They won't let the Bible in public schools because of the seed. They don't want the Bible in the hearts of the children. The devil is after the seed. When are we going to get this game? Understand that the devil's not just after your finances, and the devil's just not trying to make you sick. He's trying to destroy a kingdom. He's trying to block the advancement of a kingdom. Wow. David Arthur, come on in.
So the most fascinating thing, Coach, about that video at the State House in Augusta was just as I got up and started giving my spiel, there was elementary schools touring the State House, and they had to go from one building to the other. Well, as soon as they walked them out of one building, they couldn't usher them into the other building quick enough. But the kids were stopping and staring at me, and their eyes were wide open. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of went into, they're after you. They're after you. They want you. Don't listen to them. That's why I went into that. And the teachers were actually standing in front of them, telling them, in, get in. They did not want them to hear anything I was saying. That's why there's a difference between like what Mark was talking about. A lot of people would say, oh, no, that's Calvinism. Well, it's not Calvinism. It's the victims of this cult versus the promoters of evil. And so that's how I see it. I don't see it as a denominational thing.
Bible says for you to know to do good and not to do it, to you it's sin. Just like yesterday's show, we know this is going on. The church won't get involved. We won't get our elbows dirty. How many churches are helping Craig Mickelwild, I wonder? That's why, are you ready for this one? This is my decision. I just made it, Glenn. We're going to start staking churches. We're going to start staking churches. Many of the churches that you attend are controlled by a spirit that's not the Holy Spirit. Betty, come on in.
Well, I staked my church, and I was telling Kim we need to do that Freemason Osiris place in Elm Grove. We need to stake it out. But I tell you what, I had to talk with some of those people because they didn't want me to show these graphic abortion signs.
Right.
Because we're supposed to be child-friendly or kid-friendly. You know what? I told them they were lukewarm. They need to be bold as lions. And if they aren't going to let me show these signs, I'm just going to be leaving the group. So Sandy, and thanks to Kim, she's on here. She was there too, that we'll just start our own group, you know? So I already got like 5 from the group out of 10. So they said, oh, we got to talk about it, that we need to be unified. That's right. We need to be unified. The more, the better. But this is what causes division. And these kids, if they see that picture, they're going to question it. And they may think about it when they get older.
Mm. Hey, Betty, I know this. Mark Harrington would tell this. They know that those graphic abortion pictures save lives.
Well, and also, and I told them, how often do they go on the internet and see pornography? How many times do they blow someone's head off on a game and it's blood everywhere?
Yeah.
Don't tell me they haven't seen this garbage, you know? Right.
The devil's real, baby. Devil is real. Ray, come on in, then Jack.
Yeah, what's staking the church? To what degree? Just putting stakes up when there's nobody around and nobody sees
prayer
you?
Walking, yeah, prayer walking like the Holy Spirit.
Or do you let them know that your presence is there somehow?
I'm not going to tell them.
Okay.
Hey, Ray, many of the churches in our communities are not Christian. Brother, right. They're not Christian. It's not full of... Hey. It's not.
Hey, Coach, I got a man in the spirit right here, man. Wait until they're in the church and be like Jehu. What did Jehu do? Jehu got all the prophets of Baal and Asheroth into the temple. He said, come, all you guys, come into this temple and worship. And then he told his army, don't let one of them out. Don't let one of them by. Coach, wait till they all get in there.
Amen, amen,
and all of
amen.
Their demons in there, and then stake the church and say, not let one of them demons out.
I think that's a good deal. Here's what I'm thinking, though, see. I'm just thinking right here where I live. How many churches do you think are within 10 miles of where I live? Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? So let's take authority. That's where I'm. And I agree with you, dude. Again, I'm for the church. I'm not against it. But somebody's got to wake that thing up.
I'm a pastor of one, Coach, and I'm with you. And I went to a church and played their own pastor's message over the PA system and got cited.
Yeah, I think I was with you on that one. Where am I here? Let's see, Jack hadn't been in here yet. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I want to comment on Rachel's find, or Rochelle. Rochelle, hey, what a great find. All those college courses on witchcraft and stuff. Next question, why aren't we taking those courses? Why aren't we sitting in those classes? We can learn what they're doing. And then we can drop a grenade and walk away.
What if? Yeah. What
why
if?
Why aren't we doing that?
Why don't you go to your pastor and say, Pastor, I've been studying. I'd like to do a teaching on the demonic. You think he'd let you? Anybody think he'd let you?
Yes. Yes.
That's the kind of stuff.
In our church, yes.
Okay. Well, good. That's the kind of stuff that we have to begin to do. Who did I say was next? Who hadn't been in? Craig hadn't been in yet, or has he? Then I'll come back to Mary Beth. Go, Craig.
Spencer, see if you can pull this up. Freemasonry called the craft.
I didn't hear it. Say it again.
Have Spencer pull up Freemasonry called the craft. We talk about which craft. If you listen to a lot of Freemasonries, they say, we thank you for explaining the craft to us. It's on It's on that big temple there in Alexandria. So the point, I think, is right, Coach. And this is the thing about the churches, okay? Inviting the Holy Spirit in is always a good thing.
Yes.
Asking for the refining fire of the Holy Spirit over the land is a good thing. So those are good things, yes, if we do them.
Yes, yes. Go to prayer, walk the churches, and invite the Holy Spirit back in. I think we need to do that. Amen. Mary Beth.
So right now I invite the Holy Spirit in, and the demons will tremble, and then they will flee in Jesus' name. So anyway, let's see.
We don't believe that, Mary Beth. We do not believe that.
I know, right? That's right? True.
We don't believe in demons. We don't believe in angels. We don't believe it. It's paranormal. That's where we are.
I got so many things. I'm just going to say that it was cool how God brings stuff together, because I was just reading a psalm today, and I just want to read a couple of the verses. I will not die. Instead, I will live. I will live to tell the Lord, to tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not let me die. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory, because, Coach, I lived with many, 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 many years with unforgiveness. It's like at 68 now, I'm just like, you know, I'm realizing a lot of this stuff. I wish I had realized it earlier, but, you know, you were talking about unforgiveness, and my friend one time told me that if you don't forgive yourself, it's the same as not forgiving your brother, and God won't forgive you. Well, it took me forever to do it. So I'm just amazed at how God just tied all this together today.
Well, think about this. Think how many you go to the abortion clinic, if we go to the abortion clinic, the most unhappy, wicked women are the death squads. Why? Misery loves company. They killed their baby, and they can't forgive themselves. And so they want to say, well, it's okay. It was a good thing I did. It was a good thing. It wasn't bad. It was a good thing. And they'll never convince themselves. Because why?
Satan is a liar. He's a liar. Yeah. Satan is a liar. Yeah. There's no truth in him. No truth.
That's right. We don't. Man. Where am I here? Let's see. David, Arthur, and then Craig. Go.
Hey, I just wanted to touch on what Betty said. You know, 2018, when I went to Ohio, was the first time you took me out for the first time to the abortion mill. And that first day holding that sign, I was blessed to see two women not keep their appointment, and both of them went right across the street to that
praise the Lord.
That stuff does work.
Oh, of course, folks. A lot of people go to the abortion clinic. They don't really want to do it. They're trapped. They're like an animal with their foot in the trap. They don't know what else to do. Right. What else to do? I had an experience yesterday sitting around my house talking to my two little, I think they're 4 year olds. I can't keep track of how old they are. And I said to Emery and Coco, Cora, they both have different mothers. Their mothers are sisters. And I said, hey, Emery, you know, I'm your mommy's daddy. She kind of looked at me. I said, your mommy, Maggie, that's your mommy? Well, your mommy's mommy was Gigi. Gigi was your mommy's mommy. And someday, when you get older, you'll be a mommy. And her eyes went, what? Because I said to her, then I said to Coco, who's your grandpa? She kind of thought for a minute. And then she put together Grampy, Grandpa. They're both sitting by my lap, right? So, well, why am I Grampy? Why am I Grandpa? Because, Coco, I'm your mommy's daddy. You should see the realization, folks.
Boom.
We're so far behind the eight ball, man. I'm telling you. Craig, come on in.
All right, Coach. All right, you got me going here today, right? So you've provoked us unto good works. You said go to the churches. All right, let's give them the tools, Coach. This is what the Lord said. You need a tool. Spencer, pull up Revelation 3:14. You can read in New King James. I think it just reads a little easier. Coach, give people...
Craig, you need armor. You need armor, too. Make sure you put your armor on when you go.
Okay. Read that out, Coach, for the people.
Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Who were the Laodiceans? They were lukewarm believers, were they not? Laodiceans, weren't they lukewarm? These things, says the Lord, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Point, Craig?
This is speaking to the churches that we're going to go to.
The Church of Laodicea. Real quickly, Spencer, pull up Google real quick. What were the Laodiceans? Who were the Laodiceans? It's important. Folks, we're in the Laodicean age in the church. Laodiceans, who were they? Christians of the ancient city of Laodicea, one of the seven churches addressed the book of Revelation, they were known for their wealth, their lukewarm faith, their self-sufficiency. Wow. I think we're on to something. Hey, Glenn, I think we're on to something. I think we need to stake our churches. Expose them. Open up the doors.
You got to keep reading the whole thing. Go to the end of the chapter. Go to verse 22.
Oh, you didn't say that.
I'm sorry. Okay. You got to keep reading.
Okay, go. Where did I start? 14?
14.
Go to 14. I know your works. He's saying to the American church, where many of you go to church. I know your works. I thought we're not supposed to worry about works. Well, anyway, he knows the works. And you're not hot and you ain't cold. Nothing worse than lukewarm coffee. I wish that you were either hot or cold. Because I don't know whether to drink it to warm me up or drink it to cool me down. So then because you're lukewarm and you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you, spit you right out of my mouth because you say I'm rich, creased with goods. By the way, isn't that what the prosperity gospel is? I'm rich, increased with goods. I don't need anything. Dude, you don't even know that you're wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. And I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke, chasten. Be zealous, therefore. Stop it! Repent. Because behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I'm going to come in. I'll sup with him, and he's going to eat with me. To him that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne. Not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, even also as I overcame him and sat down with my Father in his throne. And he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Randy, quickly, you got a minute.
So, Coach, in Colossians 2, says Jesus disarmed them. He made a public spectacle of them. He's talking about them. Who's he talking? He's talking about the spirits, these
principalities and powers.
So, Coach, quickly, what I'm saying is when you understand that's what is inspiring people, you're actually looking at them, but you're looking through them to what's behind them, the spirit. Just like we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, they are the temple of their demon. They are the temple.
It is
personal, Coach, but it isn't. It's you're looking at someone and you're speaking to those spirits, and we have authority over them, by the way. But
amen.
It's what's pushing them, just like the Holy Spirit is inspiring us.
What spirit?
We have to understand that, Coach, to know how to deal with it. We need to understand that it is personal. You have to look right at them, but you're actually looking through them at the spiritual control. See, you know, so you're, amen.
Got to run. Let's go on the offensive. See you tomorrow.